910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in Europe with fellow lawmakers at her office says she was admitted to the hospital for treatment.
The 84-year-old former House Speaker was with several other members of Congress in Luxembourg marking the 80th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge when her office says she sustained an injury. What that injury was is not clear, but it resulted in Pelosi being taken to the hospital for evaluation. Aides say she's receiving excellent treatment from doctors, but will have to skip the rest of the events around the anniversary of the battle.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. A U.S. official says the U.S. military has flown American Travis Timmerman out of Syria. He was imprisoned and was freed following the fall of the Assad regime. The 29-year-old, in a video after his release, says he was jailed after crossing the border earlier this year. In Southern California, crews still battling the Franklin wildfire in Malibu, but getting a break from those Santa Ana winds. The blaze is 30% contained. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin residents will see the largest increase in K-12 property taxes since 2009 this year. As school districts across the state struggle to keep up with their funding needs, they've turned to their communities with operational referendums. Nearly two-thirds of all districts in the state have passed a referendum over the last few years, and this year residents will pay around $327 million more because of it. The K-12 property taxes increased by 5.7% this year after jumping 5.4% last year. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Natural Resources have announced the recipients of the 2025 Urban Forestry Program grant. Funding was awarded to 43 applicants across the state, including the cities of Ashland and Menominee, as well as Polk County. In total, nearly $630,000 will be distributed for projects that put urban tree inventories to use, improve local urban forestry programs, and increase local urban forestry spending. The state hopes to plant 75 million trees by 2030. One of the two people accused of stealing an SUV in Barron County during a test drive has been sentenced to probation. According to court documents, 24-year-old Ariana Line of Cameron and 34-year-old Nicola Lowe of Webster were charged with felony theft after taking the vehicle for a test drive and never returning to the dealership. Line entered a guilty plea to the charges in October and was ordered to maintain complete sobriety as part of the plea. Line and Lowe were also ordered to jointly pay nearly $2,000 in restitution. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection has detected a case of avian influenza in a Barron County poultry flock. Officials say the facility that had the positive test will not be allowed to move poultry products, and the birds will be depopulated to stop the spread of the highly contagious virus. In addition to addressing the facility that produced the positive test, the DATCP has established a control area to closely monitor other animals. Officials are also urging farmers to implement stronger biosecurity measures. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Packers and the Seahawks Sunday night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers take on the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday night football. Green Bay hoping some of their players are ready to return to action, like linebacker Edgerrin Cooper, who's been impressive as a rookie until he suffered a hamstring injury in practice 3 weeks ago.
It's been a long 3 weeks. I'm just ready to go out there and just play as hard as I could and make plays.
NBA, the Bucks are in Vegas. They face the Atlanta Hawks tomorrow at 3:30 in the NBA Cup semifinals. Women's college volleyball tonight, NCAA regionals, the Badgers in Lincoln, Nebraska, for a rematch with Texas A&M, a team they beat 2 months ago. Wisconsin C.C. Crawford asked how they've improved.
We've grown so much as a team, not only on the court, but off the court. One thing we worked on the beginning of the year was communication, and we've excelled in that. Obviously, we played them earlier in the season, but they're a different team now. It's been 2 months. Same thing for us. We're a different team now, so it'll be a fun matchup.
That's the Badgers C.C. Crawford. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It's only up from here. With sunny skies today and temperatures rising all throughout the afternoon, even into the evening, and through tomorrow. They'll wind up flirting with the freezing mark tomorrow afternoon as a major system moves in, bringing a wintry mix of snow, sleet, and freezing rain. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 15 degrees.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating him for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Nikki Zurjev and I talk about our favorite comedies. Brittany Merlot gives us an overview of the weather this winter. And Terry Barr brings the tunes on a bar band Friday night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZ.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What is up, Wisconsin? How is everybody doing? Happy Friday, TGIF. I'm always so glad when the weekends get here. Every week feels like my hair's on fire. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here at the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a fabulous show for you today at 2:30. Bottom of this hour, I'm going to be joined by Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor. Dan and I are going to do a little recombobulation of 2024. What were the highlights? What stood out? What was super memorable, especially on the state and local level? Because while the national political discourse gets all the sexy attention and it seems to be all we hear about all day, and certainly I do my share of talking about it, what really impacts your day-to-day quality of life is local politics, and Civic Media always has you covered with real news and great conversation, especially about what's happening close to home. To really stay tuned in, you are going to want to sign up for Civic Media's newsletter today at civicmedia.us/email. This will keep you up to date with all that news from your community. Every weekday, you'll get that newsletter and our news roundups. So again, check it out and subscribe to that newsletter, everybody, at civicmedia.us. So we got Dan Schaefer at 2:30. He's going to be with me for a whole hour. We'll recombobulate 2024, and then we're going to precombobulate 2025. Like, hey, what to keep your eye on as we roll into the new year. And then, of course, because it's Friday, one of my favorite segments of the week, I've got What's Good Local and Overlooked in Wisconsin with Civic Media's very own Terry Barr. We've got some special and fun things to talk about because we all need a little bit of relief from the politics, as my colleague Earl Ingram likes to say. I'm also going to start off on the fun and apolitical note today, because I need a break too. I figure we all do. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel just published an article this past week that I found very amusing and very Wisconsin. It is an article covering dozens of the world's biggest things, like the largest of the things in the world, that are apparently in Wisconsin. Can you believe this? Like, I didn't say what? Like, we have dozens of the world's largest things. I couldn't even believe it. There is the largest soup kettle in Leona. Someone apparently keeps track of these things. Is it Guinness? Like, who? The Guinness Book of World Records? Who decides what is the largest soup kettle? Where are these records kept? Inquiring minds want to know. We have the world's largest talking loon in Mercer, Wisconsin, and the world's largest muskie sculpture. Now, that one doesn't surprise me at all. A muskie sculpture, yes, that feels very on brand for us here in Wisconsin. That is in Hayward, not far, of course, from the spot where the world's largest, actually real muskie was caught by a guy named Louis Spray in 1949. So that one just makes good gosh darn sense. Now, most of the time, these sorts of things, like the world's largest muskie, they're created because they're paying homage to, you know, something that is regionally specific or an industry or what have you. But there are a lot of kind of wild and surprising things on this list. So, and by the way, the Journal Sentinel does inform us who keeps track of this. It's called the World Record Academy. That sounds like a cool job. Do they actually like fly around to verify these things? You know, here's a question. How do you get that job? Well, I'm an expert at records. What does that mean? Keeping them or measuring things? Anyways, according to the World Record Academy, the world's largest pink elephant statue stands tall on the property of a Shell gas station located just west of I-94 on Dane County Road V. So this is basically DeForest. It has no official name, but of course everybody calls him Pinky. He's 20 feet tall, sports big, heavy eyeglasses. Unbelievable. Why? Apparently, these pink elephants got scattered around the upper Midwest. One of the first was installed in front of a supper club in Marquette, Iowa. Others could be found at Arco gas stations. They were at car washes, antique malls, car dealerships. Really interested. These were all produced by a business called Sculptural Advertisings in Sparta, Wisconsin. I've got a real good friend from Sparta, Wisconsin. So that's kind of random and fun. In Marshfield, Wisconsin has the world's largest round barn. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a round barn. You say barn, I think red building with four sides and the sloped roofs. That's what I think. But the members of the Central Wisconsin Holstein Breeders Association were big thinkers back in the early 1900s. They set out to build a show barn and arena. Ah, this explains why it's a round barn. They built a huge one. This was paid for with funds from the Central Wisconsin State Fair Association and the Wood County Board and some donations. And this barn, built in the early 1900s, get this, still used to show animals and have these, you know, big arena events. That is absolutely amazing. The barn was designed by W.W. Clark and construction done by the Fellhofer brothers, who bid a whopping $6,000 for the work. They started the barn on Thanksgiving Day in 1915, worked through the winter to complete it. And the first phase of the project was done in 1916, and the second floor and the final phase completed in 1917. Get this. The diameter of the barn is 150 feet. Now, like a rough rule of thumb is that like 10 feet is basically one story of a building. So that's like 15 stories wide. It's huge. And the cupola, like the top part of this round barn, rises 70 feet. That's like seven stories tall. They used white oak, red oak, hemlock, and pine. 188,000 shingles on the roof, and the show ring has seating for about 1,000 people. Why did they opt for a round barn? It made for more efficient arrangements to show cows, which, again, I think makes a pretty good sense. Apparently, also, engineering has taught us that round buildings are more wind-resistant, stay cooler in warmer weather, and have stronger walls. Learning all kinds of new things. Speaking of cows, the world's largest talking cow is in Neillsville, Wisconsin. They call her Chatty Bell. She stands less than 30 miles from the world's largest round barn. Again, in Neillsville, she's 16 feet tall, 20 feet long, and she's made out of fiberglass. She was made for the 1964 World's Fair in New York, and there was a futuristic Wisconsin pavilion at that World's Fair. Very kind of Jetsons-ish, if you remember that cartoon from the 80s. I was a big fan. We kind of have Jetsons things today, right? Like, we're getting real close to full-on Jetsons. Listen, people are bad enough drivers. I don't need people driving around in three dimensions. That just makes me very, very nervous. Chatty Bell was named in 1967 by a first grader from Loyal named Jody Hartle. Next up in the Journal Sentinel article, the world's largest potato masher. Now we're getting down to things that really matter to me because I love me a carbohydrate. Mashed taters, fried taters, tater tots, a tater chip, any kind of tater. If it's salty and it's a carbohydrate, I'm your gal. You know, noodles. Somebody offers me a bowl of buttery, salted, peppered noodles. I'm like, that's amazing. Pass on the cookies and cake. Give me the buttered noodles. Excuse me. The world's largest potato masher in Plover, Wisconsin. Check this out, Cardi. It's 38 feet, 11 inches tall. It's like almost four stories tall. It's in central Wisconsin, again, in Plover. It was designed to beckon visitors into Plover's Food and Farm Exploration Center, a hands-on educational family destination that teaches people about agricultural food production and nutrition. It's located at 3400 Innovation Drive, and the center features a kitchen lab, farm equipment exhibits, and farm demonstration fields. How cool. Now, here's one that I was totally shocked by. Couldn't make the connection at all. I mean, like, the potato masher, I get. The pink elephant, not so much. But a talking cow, yeah, I get all that. That all makes sense. This one, I didn't get. The world's largest penny is in Woodruff, Wisconsin. This penny's 15 feet tall, a foot thick, and weighs nearly 18,000 pounds. And it is forever linked to Dr. Kate Pelham Newcomb, the resilient doctor who practiced in the area of Woodruff in the 40s and the 50s. She visited patients in the most inhospitable weather conditions, sometimes using snowshoes to make her rounds when the roads were impassable. Her nickname, check this, the Angel on Snowshoes. And in 1953, which is the date on the penny, this doctor started a fundraising effort to build a hospital in Woodruff, and the high schoolers in the town started a penny drive. Aha, there it is, a penny drive to help in her efforts. The students ended up raising $17,000 in 1953. Their efforts drew national attention, which in turn led the good doctor to be invited on a national television show. This Is Your Life. For many people, they will remember this show. And all that fame and publicity led to a successful effort to build that hospital. The penny is located next to the Dr. Kate Museum. How lovely. Well, that is some of the world's largest things in Wisconsin. When we come back, remember that stupid movie, 2000 Mules? Well, the guy that made it just apologized. I'm going to tell you all about it. Dinesh D'Souza. Turns out it was all made up garbage. We'll talk about Dinesh when we come back. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn, and we are all about real news and great conversation. Back with more in just...
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
After raising the kids, having weddings, and getting them settled, my wife and I prepared to spend our very first Christmas alone. They were all at the in-laws this year, so we watched old videos of them growing up. Went to bed early, and Christmas morning, my wife said, "Let's never do that again." We're on our own again this year, but we're actually looking forward to it because we rented a private vacation home in Alexandria, Minnesota. Lakes, shopping, restaurants, and new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks for letting me ease into this Friday with some fun facts about Wisconsin. Sometimes we just need a break from the politics, as my good friend Earl Ingram likes to call it. You're going to want to keep it locked all through this afternoon because coming up at 4 p.m., we've got Civic Media's grown-up gift list, text to win, sweepstakes, your chance to win in the 4 o'clock hour, either $100 in cash or an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort. You qualify to win in the 4 o'clock hour by listening to Civic Media. My colleague Dom Salvia is going to give you the keyword for the 4 o'clock hour. You're going to text that via the Civic Media app. That is the only way to enter. And again, we'll give away either $100 or that overnight stay at the Chula Vista in the 4 o'clock hour. Your text will also qualify you to win one of our 8 grand prizes, a whole bunch of grown-up gifts that you get to pick from: humidifiers, luggage, espresso makers, and robot vacuums. My personal favorite. So go ahead and get yourself the app for free from wherever you get your apps from and learn more about the chances to win and the prizes at civicmedia.us/grownupgiftlist. That's civicmedia.us/grownupgiftlist. You're also not going to want to go anywhere because I got Dan Schaefer coming up next. We're going to recombobulate 2024. We're going to precombobulate 2025. And at 3:30, of course, I've got Terry Barr with what's good, local, and overlooked here in the state of Wisconsin. But I wanted to share with you some political, maybe a slightly lighter political news. Do you remember this movie, 2000 Mules? The mules in this movie referring to people who allegedly moved thousands of ballots around and dumped them. Yeah, the movie that Bill Barr in a sworn deposition called BS, and literally like laughed in that derisive, dismissive way that only Bill Barr could do. That guy kind of has like the Dr. Evil vibe, doesn't he? Doesn't, not a bald man in a gray Nehru jacket, but like very Dr. Evil-y. Anyways, yeah, the whole theory behind the film is what Bill Barr was basically saying is total BS, no factual basis. Well,
The guy that made the movie, Dinesh D'Souza, by the way, a felon pardoned by Donald Trump. He made specific accusations about people in the film. Now, he tried to like anonymize it, but you could still tell who the people were. So he's been sued. But apparently he has issued an apology over some of the false allegations he made in this 2022 conspiracy theory movie called 2000 Mules. He posted a lengthy statement to his website. I love how these crackpots have their own websites. Of course they do. posted this, like, I think 2 weeks ago to his website and said that his movie relied on, quote, cell phone geolocation data, which turned out to be false. Oh, so you didn't verify the data that was the entire premise upon which you accused people of rigging an election and stealing a democracy. Oh, you didn't fact check. Lovely. And by the way, that false, fabricated BS phone geolocation data was provided by the conservative group True the Vote. He went on to say this, quote, we were assured that the surveillance videos had been linked to geolocation cell phone data, such that each video depicted an individual who had made at least 10 visits to drop boxes. Indeed, it is clear from the interviews within the film itself that True the Vote was correlating the videos to geolocation data. We recently learned that the surveillance videos used in the film may not have actually been correlated with the geolocation data. Let me uncode that for you. Yeah, it was all made up garbage. Totally untrue. He went on to add that the movie and the companion book, because of course he was trying to hawk a book too, left the impression that these individuals were mules that had been identified as suspected ballot harvesters. While all these individuals' images were blurred and unrecognizable, one of the individuals has since come forward publicly and has initiated a lawsuit over the use of his blurred image in the film and the book. I owe this individual an apology. I now understand the surveillance videos used in the film were characterized on the basis of inaccurate information provided to me and my team. Way to be accountable, Dinesh. It's not my fault. Somebody else gave me the false information. Sorry for ruining your life and putting a target on your back, because that's what happened. You know, when you zoom out and look at this, do you catch any themes here, everybody? Dinesh selling a book and a movie. You got cash money, dollar sign. He's hawking his website. He's hawking a book. It's all a grift. Which one of these people isn't selling something? I mean, gosh darn, the Bibles, the gold tennis shoes. Trump's now selling cryptocurrency. Oh, and the perfume. I can't forget about the perfume. You know, Cardi, I've been thinking, I am quite the perfume aficionado. Perhaps I should do a little sampling of the product. That might be a fun little, you know, way to ease into 2025 with a little sample of the Trump perfume. You know what would be really hard is if I really liked it.
Oh, my God.
What would I suppose I'd wear it, pay that cash money for it. Folks, you're going to want to keep it locked. I got Dan Schaefer coming up next. He's the political editor for Civic Media. We're going to recombobulate 2024, tell you what we think were highlights from the past year, as well as things to keep your eye on for 2025 as we precombobulate 2025. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Your farm update is next.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Well, it happened again. Another detection of high path avian influenza in Wisconsin. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection made the announcement yesterday. I've got all the details you need to know next. End of the year savings and hot deals at all Bobcat Plus Wisconsin locations. All new in-stock Bobcat equipment and attachments are marked down and ready to get to work for you. Skid steers, mini excavators, compact tractors, snow removal equipment, and more. As always, full service and parts whenever you need it. End of the year savings and hot bargain Bobcat deals happening now at all Bobcat Plus Wisconsin locations. Visit a showroom in your area or bobcatplus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal. A poultry flock in Barron County is the latest to detect high path avian influenza. Dr. Darlene Conkle, Wisconsin State veterinarian, says that they are ready to alert any livestock owners in the area about the detection. She said so far, the good news is there's not many animals in the area.
In that area, what we do is, at least initially, establish a 10-kilometer, which amounts to about 6.2 miles, control area surrounding the infected flock, where we will pull premises numbers for poultry and for other potentially susceptible species. I don't have all the numbers to hand just yet. We have looked and we have not determined any cattle in that 10-kilometer area through our premises registration numbers, but obviously there are other poultry flocks in that area as well. That we will be looking at for surveillance and to contact them.
That's Dr. Darlene Conkle, our Wisconsin State veterinarian. The impacted flock is being depopulated in Barron County, and according to Conkle, as of yesterday, USDA had confirmed 95 flocks with high path avian influenza impacting 10 different states.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now is the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
And a Wisconsin soybean grower from Barron County has been named to the American Soybean Association's Board of Directors. Tanner Johnson from Prairie Farm in Barron County has been named an at-large member of the Executive Committee for the American Soybean Association. Aside from growing soybeans, Tanner Johnson's also involved in producing corn, winter wheat, alfalfa hay, and cover crops. That's a look at food news. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's only up from here. With sunny skies today and temperatures rising all throughout the afternoon, even into the evening and through tomorrow. They'll wind up flirting with the freezing mark tomorrow afternoon as a major system moves in, bringing a wintry mix of snow, sleet, and freezing rain. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 15 degrees.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we continue our live coverage from the Seattle area, focusing on the Naval Air Station in Bremerton. Join us then.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Welcome, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I always like to have a little help on Fridays. Makes the show go by nice and fast. And there is no better guy to be talking to this Friday than Civic Media's very own political editor, Dan Schaefer. We are approaching the end of the year, Dan. It's time for some reflection.
It's time for some reflection, some recombobulation.
Some recombobulation. We're going to call the next hour. Dan's going to be with me for a whole hour, y'all. Really excited to do this with you. The Time Magazine cover, Man of the Year with Donald Trump, just dropped yesterday. How very exciting. But we're going to recombobulate 2024, and then we're going to precombobulate 2025.
That's right. That's right. Before we all get there, and we'll get discombobulated all over again.
Yes. And then we'll return to form, as it were. First of all, let's just, on a personal note, how are your holiday preparations going?
You know, it's going well. I'm not a huge holiday person generally, okay, but I have two young kids. And so that has certainly changed the holidays for me. So I've got two girls, one, eight and almost four. So they love Christmas. They're very excited. They're singing all the songs, watching all the Christmas movies. We're having a good time.
So are there any Christmas movies or songs that you are now like, I have heard this way too much and I have to have earplugs if I hear it again?
My youngest daughter loves the song "I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas."
Okay,
you know this one at all?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not have
it's,
young
it's
children.
It's recorded in like the 50s or something like that, and it just absolutely gets stuck in my head every time. And she likes to sing along with her little girl voice to it, which is very adorable. But as soon as anybody even mentions like a line from that song, it will be stuck in my head for the rest of the day.
Oh, it's an earworm.
It's an earworm.
Oh,
yeah,
those are the worst. I've always had like sort of waffled on all in for Christmas, but I have to admit, I do like the tree. I like having a nice tree. I like watching movies with like all the lights off and just the tree.
Just the tree. Now, do you do a real tree?
No.
We still do the real tree.
Oh,
we get a real tree
every
year.
Yes,
it is a lot of work. But
so do you go big or you try to get? Because it's like the reason I eventually broke and went to the fake tree was because my place was small and I needed a narrow tree.
Yeah.
And those do not exist in the real life.
No, not so much. So usually we'll just get something from like, you know, one of the hardware stores around town or something like that. This year we went to this Christmas tree farm in somewhere in Ozaukee County around Grafton or something like that. And it was one of those places you could chop down your own tree. We didn't end up doing the chop down your own tree because it was pretty cold and we didn't want to have the girls outside for too long. But
love how you say, it was because I didn't want the girls to be outside in the cold. I'll let you go with that, Dan.
All right. But they did, in true Wisconsin form, they were giving out shots of Jameson at the Christmas tree farm to keep people warm around, which, you know, that I did partake in.
This is like the axe bar. Like, let's have people chop down trees and do that with whiskey.
Only in Wisconsin.
Listen,
right?
I'm not going to over-lawyer that as concept. We'll just let that go. I'm glad. Did you find like the perfect tree?
We did.
That's just so much fun. My parents and I, we did real trees the whole time growing up. I was an only child. So like my parents had to sort of participate in the Christmas and holiday excitement with me because I had no siblings to sort of bounce that energy off of. And I distinctly remember standing in a lot of Stein's parking lots with my little kid arms, like holding the two trees, trying to keep them up. You know, as my dad, you got to stand back. Is the trunk straight? How is it? Turn the trees, you know, as you're trying to do that with my little kid hands and the sap all over the place. So a lot of fond memories. I know we're going to talk again next week, but hope you and your family have a beautiful weekend in your holiday preparations coming up here, Dan. But let's get into it. Donald Trump, cover of Time Magazine, Man of the Year. I got a couple of angry text messages from friends about this. And I said, Time isn't, it's not like the best person of the year.
Right.
It's just person of the year.
Right. And I think every president is pretty. Anytime there's a president elected, I think it's
about
every
usually
time
it's a gimme, right? Yeah. Like it would have been Kamala Harris had she won,
right?
But it you know, rolling the tape back to where we all were in January. First of all, on a personal level, neither you nor I were full time employed by Civic Media, so we've had some changes.
That's right, we have had some changes.
But it has been a roller coaster of a year. What stands out to you on either the national or state level?
Yeah, it's been, it was, you know, I was going through the archives of the recombobulation area of the things that I had written over the course of the year to just, you know, I've been doing this, our own year in review stuff, but also to get ready for this segment here. And it was just, there's just so many elections that we've had in Wisconsin this year. And it's not just, you know, obviously the November election is going to be the big political story of the year. But just going back, like the spring election was a big deal. The summer partisan primary that had, you know, those constitutional amendments on the ballot was a big deal. I just feel like we have not been able to escape the election cycle for 1 second.
It does feel kind of like road construction, like it's 365 days a year. And we're now going to ramp up it. We'll save that for the pre-combobulation.
That's right.
For 2025. Remind folks, what was the big emphasis, if you will, in the 2024 spring election cycle? Then we'll get to the partisan primary and those constitutional amendments.
Yeah, so the spring election one, that was the statewide referendum questions on that one were the Zuckerbucks related ones, which I had written a couple columns talking about how it was just, you know, just a latest ridiculous kind of power grab from the Republicans, but they just kind of sneak these in there. And I think the other big one, at least here.
Tell people, just so in case people don't remember, what was the controversy and what was the amendment trying to do or purported to do?
Yeah, so the so-called controversy was that there were nonprofits that were funding some certain levels of election administration, especially
in 2020 because of COVID.
Mm-hmm. And there was this nonprofit that was connected to Mark Zuckerberg. And so like all of the Republicans got whipped into a frenzy thinking that Mark Zuckerberg was trying to steal the election by funding all of these nonprofit things, which, you know, study after study bore out that this was not the case.
Well, and it's sort of a stupid presumption, right? Like the idea is that simply by donating to election administrators that somehow impacts the outcome.
Right.
And he directed the donations during COVID to the larger jurisdictions, which do admittedly lean left. But he did that because they have the largest populations and it was the hardest to do given all of the health risks because of COVID and the stupid rule in Wisconsin that we can't open a single absentee ballot until the day of the election.
Right.
Okay, so that was, and the amendment purported to do what exactly?
It was trying to ban private dollars from being in public elections. And it was just like, okay, on balance, like that can sound good. And I think that's probably why it ultimately passed.
Yeah.
But I think it opens up the door for all sorts of other problems. And, you know, it would have been one thing if Republicans passed this and saying, hey, we're going to get, you know, all nonprofit dollars out of election administration, turn around and then properly fund election administration.
But
they of
don't.
Course, didn't do that. And they will never do that. And you know, they're continue to weaponize that process against large cities, against, you know, more liberal leaning places to create this presumption of fraud that they always like to bring in.
That's what I thought was really insidious about this, right? Is that, no private donations related to election funding. I'd be all for that as a constitutional amendment, again, if elections were funded enough. But the reality is that funding levels, especially in the bigger cities with the bigger populations, just simply aren't enough. They've also tried to ban anybody, we'll get to that because that was another constitutional amendment. So that was the spring election had this constitutional amendment on it.
Yeah, and the column I wrote about it at the time was had the headline, good in theory, bad in practice, worse in process, which was...
That about nails it.
Yeah. So the other big thing from that particular spring election, at least as far as southeastern Wisconsin and the Milwaukee area is concerned, was the referendum on MPS.
Yes.
And that narrowly passing in the April election. And I think that was, you know, so often Milwaukee can And we see this with shared revenue. We see this with school funding. Milwaukee can get blamed unfairly for a lot of things. Yep. Of course, you want to hold your public officials accountable at every level. Yep. But I think it's not a case of Milwaukee was, whole scale doing all these problems, having all these problems. But it was also that, it was a sign of things to come with the referenda that we saw across the state for schools in a lot of ways.
Yeah, there's,
now, MPS has its own specific problems with its administration. But the funding levels of it, I think, goes back to, just the fact that schools across the state are now doing this. And in Milwaukee, it just happened to be kind of early in the process.
Folks, that's Dan Schaefer. He's the political editor here at Civic Media. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. We're doing the recombobulation of 2024, some highlights, maybe some of the stuff on a state or local basis that you've forgotten about. The points I wanted to give a little zip to about what you were saying is Robin Voss a couple weeks ago on Upfront made an argument or a statement that the last biennial budget from the state represented a once-in-a-generation funding increase for public education. And I'm going to say this really clearly. You liar, Robin Voss. What the Republican-controlled state government, going back to 2010 when they took over all three branches, have done is systematically defunded public education in this state. At the same time, again, we've now seen the interrelationship between this historic reduction in overall tax burden for Wisconsin residents. Again, I had Jason Stein on earlier this week talking about this very thing. And that was exactly coupled with the single largest expenditure, line item expenditure, if you will, in the state budget, education, getting slashed. Exactly. So what Robin Voss was saying was, yes, it was an increase over prior budget years, but you guys had gutted public education. It doesn't even keep, our educational funding doesn't even keep up with inflation. I asked Jason Stein, do you know the last time that we adjusted this public school funding formula? And he's like, well, there's tweaks every year, but the fundamental formula, he's like, I've been around the state capitol for 20 years and I can't even remember when that was. I mean, every kid has a smart book in their hands now. It's just stupid. So those were the two big ones. And the last thing I wanted to say about this and then get your reaction to this is I think there are a lot of valid criticisms of the governance of Milwaukee Public Schools. I think the school board has failed the students. I think school board elections don't get nearly enough press and coverage. We've had people that should have had no business being on a school board on the school board. And yet this is one of those things where like both things are true. MPS governance needs to be much more accountable. They actually hired the former comptroller for the city of Milwaukee to come in and try to clean it up, Ijesawa. That's true. And it's also true that the state government has systematically defunded all public school systems, rural and urban, across the state. This is one of the, you got to be able to have both ideas in your head at the same time.
Yeah. And I think you're seeing now with all these referenda, it's a shell game. What they're doing is a shell game and moving funds around and saying that, like, hey, if local communities want to vote to raise their taxes, that's up to them. But at the same time, we're sitting on this, $4+ billion surplus that exists because
of these slashing of educational
slashing of education fundings. Absolutely.
So that was the spring 2024 election. Then we had the partisan primary. Lots of action, especially on the Democratic side because of the new maps. What did you think about that partisan primary? Very briefly, we got about a minute.
Yeah, so that was one that Democrats got more organized against the constitutional amendments there, and then ended up winning essentially that battle in that partisan primary. It was the first time there was ever a constitutional amendment in a partisan primary.
Low turnout elections.
Democrats spent a lot of money to put the vote no on both of those amendment questions, and they were successful on both ends. So I think that
when
was,
we come back, Dan's going to remind us all what those two, I think, relatively more important constitutional amendment questions were during this past year's partisan primary. We're going to continue to recombobulate 2024. I'm talking with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor. And don't forget, we're going to pre-combobulate 2025 and tell y'all what you might want to keep your eye on in the coming year. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We'll be right back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Whoa. Yeah. I don't know about you all, but I have a hard time talking over Arrested Development. It's good fun. We got Cardi on the board and Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, in the booth with me. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are recombobulating 2024, especially reminding us of the important stuff that happened on the state and local level in this last year's political cycle, and pre-combobulating for 2025. Dan, we were talking about the partisan primary that was kind of mid-year last year that had two constitutional amendments on it. And they both went down. They were losers for the proponents of the amendments, which I have to be honest, I was a little surprised by. Because those partisan primary elections are routinely low turnout. And when you have low turnout, that generally bodes more favorably for conservative candidates and conservative causes. These two constitutional amendments were basically forced onto the ballot by the GOP-controlled legislature. So remind us what they were, Dan.
Yeah, so there were these two very confusingly worded questions about how federal funds are allocated at the state level. And basically, it would have really dramatically changed the way federal funds come to Wisconsin and who has the oversight on there. And it again, as so many of these often are for Republicans, it is a power grab.
Yep.
It was a way for Republicans to control a process that they were not fully able to control during COVID when Tony Evers was governor and they, you know, disagreed with the way that he was spending some of those federal funds. But, you know, the people of Wisconsin voted for Tony Evers and not Scott Walker. So he gets to be the governor and govern.
And they both were trying to do the same thing. The distinctions between them are immaterial. They both sought to inject the legislature into what was an executive, an executive branch frankly, exclusive authority. This, to me, Dan, was notable, not only because they were voted down, good for you, Wisconsin voters, but secondly, because of the fact that this stands in a long line of what I'm going to call per se cheating by Republicans in the state of Wisconsin. And I, by that, what I mean to say, Dan, is when Tony Evers was first elected, the Republicans rushed back to work and then changed a bunch of laws to strip the governor's office of a bunch of powers. They were fine when Scott Walker had the power and they had full control of state government. But when a Democrat was elected to the governor's office, all of a sudden they had all kinds of concerns about the governor's powers. So they cheated then to reduce the governor's authority and strip a lot of power. This was the same version of that some now many years later into his second term. Again, what's good for me is different than what's good for thee. It's sort of the operating principle of the Republican Party. I was very happy to see that outcome. So that brings us up into the fall election cycle with our new maps. And how did that bode out as we recombobulate 2024?
Yeah, so I think that was, you know, I'm doing my review of what the recombobulation area stories that I wrote for the year. And so, like, the big topic that I was writing about in January and February was the new maps, was the process that the Wisconsin Supreme Court had ordered to get to new maps. And there was kind of this convoluted process with it in January. A bunch of different parties submitted maps. Then there were people overseeing this process. Eventually, the state legislature kind of realized that, saw the writing on the wall and passed these maps that were introduced by Tony Evers and kind of dared Evers, hey, are you going to veto your own maps? Well, he didn't. He signed his own maps. And those are the maps that we had on the ballot. And so, I did at the recombobulation area the couple election cycles prior, and now this year as being part of the Civic Media Network, I'm the one guy crazy enough to preview all 115 races on the ballot, every race in the Senate and Assembly in the Wisconsin State Legislature under these new maps. And so, yeah, that was obviously a huge part of what I was doing in September, but obviously a big part of the state election formula. You know, a lot of oxygen taken up by the top of the ticket with what was happening with the change from Joe Biden to Kamala Harris, the Senate race, what have you. But, you know, these local elections, these state legislative elections can really have such an impact on your day-to-day life as a Wisconsinite. So we had, far more competitive races than we had in a really long time. Yeah. You know, when I had done this in previous election cycles, there was like one or two toss-up races. This year we had like eight or nine.
Yeah, you had a lot to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a much different dynamic.
And I just want to remind people, competitive districts that are fairly drawn are better for Republicans and better for Democrats, no matter who wins. The reason that this is not a debatable statement, that is an axiom, is because when districts are competitive, no matter who wins, they must be responsive to the voters. And so this isn't about like forced bipartisanship. It's called forced responsiveness. Listen, if you just take politicians and forget the ones that you know and love, but you take politicians writ large, if they don't have to try very hard and they can just win every time, human nature, y'all, right? Mm-hmm. Human nature, folks, that's what happens. But when the districts are competitive, it serves everyone in that district better. It's why I so oppose partisan gerrymanders as we've had in this state. They need to be fair. They need to be fair everywhere. I say, don't let legislators pick their voters anymore. Let's get an independent redistricting commission. Folks, I'm with Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media. We got to take care of some top of the hour business. We're going to come back. We'll do a little moments more of reflection on the recombobulation of 2024. And then we're going to maybe move on to some precombobulation of 2025. You're not going to want to miss 1 second of it. News, weather, and sports updates are next. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, we'll continue a conversation with author Laura Bird, full of recommendations for books that also make great holiday gifts.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink? Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The man charged with the murder of United Healthcare CEO in New York could soon be returning to New York sooner to face charges. Luigi Mangione is in jail in Pennsylvania, where he was taken into custody this week, pending an extradition hearing. ABC's Aaron Kutursky says he may not fight it much longer.
We heard from Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg today that he's getting some indications that Luigi Mangione may, in fact, waive extradition as soon as Tuesday of next week. So this could all be happening quite quickly.
New Jersey Fire Service, in a new bulletin obtained by ABC News, says, quote, downed or landed drones should not be approached. Federal authorities say most of those reported drone sightings in the Northeast are actually manned aircraft, which are legally operating, and say foreign countries are not involved. That's caused some frustration, and lawmakers are demanding more answers. Winter storms, including heavy snow and ice, on the move from the Midwest to the Northeast. Residents in the Great Lakes region getting more snow and digging out. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.